in St. Catharines, Ontario, listening on EWTN Radio. What is your question for Jimmy Akin?
Hey, Jimmy. I just had a question to do with penance. I spent most of my adult life in evangelical Protestant circles and just came into the church last year, and now I'm kind of trying to really understand this whole thing of penance. And I'm reading about the history of it, and this book I'm reading is saying that at one point in the Middle Ages that penance was thought of as punishment for sin. And I'm just, this doesn't somehow seem right, because I'm trying to understand if Jesus died on the cross to take punishment for sin, then why do sins have to be punished through penance?
Okay. There are different kinds of punishment. And one of the forms of punishment, of course, is the eternal punishment of separation from God, which we know as hell. And Jesus completely took that away. So we don't have that form of punishment when our sins have been forgiven. But it is God's will that we experience some negative consequences, not eternal separation from him, but nevertheless some negative consequences for our sins. The reason for this, as the book of Hebrews says, is because God scourges every son whom he receives, because he loves them and wants to train them in holiness. So when God allows us to experience negative consequences for our sins, that scourging that the book of Hebrews refers to, which literally, I mean, if you think about it, that means whipping or, you know, I mean, that's basically what it means, although the implement might be something other than a whip, but that's the image that's being used. The purpose is to make us better sons, to help us grow in holiness. And the author of Hebrews points out that, you know, no discipline, and again, the metaphor is of physical discipline, of corporal punishment, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it leads to growth in righteousness and holiness, which ultimately is one of the things that we need in order to see God. And so even though Jesus has borne the punishment for our sins in one sense, and most especially and most notably in the sense of he took the his saving action enables us to avoid the eternal punishment of sin, there is still or can be temporal consequences for our sins that we need to experience to encourage us to grow in holiness. The same way if you have a teenager who's, you know, let's say he's flagrantly broken the rules you've established for him, and then he turns around and says, okay, I'm sorry. Well, you may say, I forgive you, but you're still grounded, because he needs that as a lesson. If he just has consequence-free forgiveness, or what the Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace, then he's not going to learn his lesson. And so in the same way, because God is a loving father and a smart father, he allows us to experience some negative consequences for our sins, which can be referred to as a form of discipline or scourging or punishment. And one of the ways that can manifest is in the doing of penance, whether it's in its sacramental form or in a non-sacramental form. It's our voluntary entering in to the chastisement of the Lord so that we may grow in holiness.
Okay, that makes sense. Part of what this author is saying, that it's God's justice that demands satisfaction. And that just seems to open the whole door to, you know, the whole idea of substitutionary atonement.
Yeah,
and where it's getting confusing, the terminology that God's, you know, it says justice demands a satisfaction.
Like, yeah. Obviously, this is something, now I don't know who this author is that you're reading, and I haven't read the text myself, so I don't know if he's making qualifications. But if you just say that in an absolute sense, then it's going to cause problems theologically. Because obviously God is capable, and this is something St. Thomas Aquinas talked about, God is capable, he's omnipotent, he can do anything he chooses, and so he's capable of utterly remitting all sin and punishment without us experiencing any negative consequences, and that in fact may happen for those who are still alive on the last day when Jesus comes back and they're transformed in the twinkling of an eye. So if one is too absolute about God's justice demand satisfaction, then you can run into theological problems up to and including eroding the basis for the crucifixion and the redemption accomplished by our Lord, because that in itself is an act of mercy that God was willing to allow to occur, even though it meant moving away from the strict justice whereby we should each have strict punishment for our sins with no mercy shown to us. That would be ultimate rigid justice. And that's not the kind that God has or that God shows.
Okay, that really helps.
Great. Thank you, Tim. So-